Dusty Mesa.
News Talk 1340 KROC AM. Good morning. I'm Andy Brownell with Rochester Today. It is time for the Power of Learning show with Jim Walters. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning.
You're pretty perky for a snowy Monday morning.
Well, I've been up since 3 in the morning shoveling snow. For those of you listening maybe from afar, what did we get, about 6 inches?
They're saying out at the airport almost 7.5 inches.
Well, I'm sure it was 16 at my place.
Yes.
It was heavy, and there's lots of it.
It is March and it is Minnesota. What do you expect? When we get 60 degrees to start out the month, you're going to get paybacks are what they are, I guess.
Yeah, I can't remember who it was that I was just talking to. I was out in Philadelphia, and they said the conversation was, well, you know, you're pretty much out of the woods. And I said, no, March can be, you know. And then I told them the story 2 years ago where we got over 14 inches on May 1st, and they couldn't believe it. But no, this isn't strange for us. But boy, it's heavy snow.
Did Boston ever get the record? I don't know why. I don't know that.
I think they did. I'm pretty sure I read that. In fact, it was snowing when I left Philadelphia.
But they got that close. You got to go. Hey, come on, bring it on.
Yeah. Oh, heck yeah.
Give me a couple more inches and we're going to get the record here.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, enough of our weather chat because that is, you know, a requisite thing if you're a Minnesotan. You have to talk about the weather for a while. But what we're here today to talk about is critical thinking, because that is what the Power of Learning show is all about. And Jim, maybe you want to introduce what our theme today will be.
Yeah, well, you know, first let me just mention that, you know, Andy and I, we started this show because there's so little critical thinking going on in our society. And so we're very serious about what we're doing here, and we hope that you benefit from it, that's for sure. And what we do is develop some topics, and the topic for this show is the revolving door of me-only positions. And that is, you know, read the newspapers, listen to radio, watch TV, and just think about how folks are conversing with each other. And when you do that, are they thinking or are they conversing with a curious mind, or are they conversing from a, oh, I want to prove my point to you? And that's what we mean by me-only positions. And the problem is that when we hold so fast to those positions, well, we don't learn. We cannot move forward. And so that's what our show is about today. Me-only positions, it's a fun little term to use for, you know what? I'm going to stick to what I know, what I believe, and doggone it, that's the way it is.
And this is how long we've been doing the show. This is called your egocentric.
Oh, geez.
See? I'm catching on.
Wow. I tell you what, I'm going to whip up a certificate for you.
Certificate.
You bet. It is egocentric thinking. It's all about me. It's my position. And so I thought, you know, it might be a good thing to just kind of go over some examples of where we see this, where it's so prevalent in our society. And I'm going to talk about, I'd like to bring up climate change. And you and I have even differed on this.
We do.
But I want to tell you the story about my friend Danny.
Okay.
Denny absolutely was, the climate change is just a bunch of hooey. And, of course, I don't think so. I've looked at the stats. I can tell you what our carbon concentration was and is and where it might be going. I mean, I've really looked at it. Denny has not, but Denny had a position. But I respected that opinion. I did. I told him what I believed and why I believed it. Well, he called me here just last week, and he said, Jim, I got to tell you, I listened to so-and-so expert, and I think they have me convinced. Well, I thought, Denny, what a great example of seeking the truth. And that's what we, I think, are so lacking in society, that we are focused on winning an argument instead of focusing on the truth. And that's what critical thinking is all about, and that's what this show is all about, to help us, you know, seek truth, whether it's in our organizations or whether it's the issues that in our world, that's what it's all about.
Okay. Well, I don't want to get into a big climate change debate, or as I would term, global warming debate, because the climate change, of course, the climate changes. That's part of the planet. So the question would be whether it's man-caused and to what level is man-caused. That, right. that should be the real central point of the debate. But we'll save that for another day.
Well, yeah. Can I just add one more thing to that, though? But,
sure.
You know, just to kind of close the loop on that, you and I differ there a little bit. But, you know, what do we do then? Do we just
– Oh, no.
You know, what we do there is what we want to really tackle in this show a little bit later. What do we do when you have Andy and Jim that have opposing views? How do you get out of that? We really want to nail that.
Okay.
Because that's what we need in this country.
We will talk more about our opposing views and what we should do to explore those opposing views after our break. It's 16 past 10 on KROC AM. Back with the Power of Learning show with Jim Walters. It's brought to you by Mystic Lake Casino. Tickets on sale now to see comedian Joel McHale at Mystic Lake Saturday, April 11th. See the star of TV's The Soup and Community live. Get tickets today at mysticlake.com. Our forecast for today: clouds and a high around 36 degrees, should be enough to at least melt it off the roadways. A low tonight in the mid to upper 20s. Then tomorrow, chance of some scattered showers developing late in the day and a high of 40. It becomes a pretty good chance of rain with a snow mix tomorrow night. A low of 35 degrees, perhaps another dusting of snow. Rain and mixed with snow again on Wednesday with a high in the low 40s. Upper 30s on Thursday with, once again, a chance of snow and or mixed precipitation. Then a dry period begins Friday and Saturday, but cool Friday. Friday's high 32, and on Saturday, a high in the low 40s. Right now in the downtown, it's cloudy, and we are up to 31 degrees at KROC AM. It's 20 minutes past 10 o'clock. I'm Andy Brownell, along with Jim Walters, the Power of Learning show. And we're talking critical thinking. We're talking about the... How did you term it? I got the egocentric thing in my head now. The me-only
positions.
Me-only positions.
It just sounded better, I thought, than egocentrism.
It does.
But you're right there. And maybe we should pick up on just what fuels me-only or egocentric thinking. What is going on there? Why do the people in Ferguson, there's a... You know, the people that were really upset, why did that happen? And why did my buddy Denny hold to his position yet, and then he changed his position? But why do we hold on to our positions, our me-only positions, with such fervor? You know, we just don't want to let go. Well, I, for the sake of the show at least, I think there's three things that we need to first, you know, become aware of if we're going to improve our thinking, and that's what we're talking about here. And I think that first thing is emotions. You know, we take in input, sensory input, not only internally but from external sources. What we see, what people tell us, that kind of thing. And I like to think of it this way, that that input comes through our primal brains first. You know, our oldest brains are deep in our head, and it's the blob on top. That's our thinking part. It takes a little longer to get there, and that's true. I mean, physiologically, that's true. And so I think that we see that. I think we saw that in Ferguson, where me-only positions were running rampant, and we didn't, and that was because we didn't take the time to get ourselves informed as to what really is happening and then act on that. So, we have, I think, as we go forward, I am basically indirectly arguing that we have an obligation. If you're going to take a position, you've got an obligation that goes with that, and that is to get yourself informed. And I'm just saying the emotion is one of those things that can get in the way.
Emotions short-circuiting the ability to have some patience. Is
that
what you're telling me?
We call it an amygdala hijack, you know, that our amygdala, our emotional part of those primal brains, has hijacked our ability to think. And, you know, we've all been there.
Oh, sure.
We've all been there. But I personally, I just think that, boy, you know, we've talked about it before in previous shows, Andy, that, you know, this notion of intellectual laziness, and that's what I'm getting at here, that the mind's default is to just react emotionally. It takes real control to engage that thinking part of our mind. And I'm just saying, I think there was a fair bit
There was more than that.
Emotional outbursts only. There was no chance. The folks that were reacting and shooting and looting and doing all these things were not giving their brains. They were acting totally on emotion. And again, we're talking about emotion as one of those things that fuel me only positions. Yeah. It's all about me.
Boy, there's so many different branches of this.
There is.
And that's where it's tough to narrow this down, especially when you bring up the Ferguson, Missouri situation.
And you
have people who are in power on, I don't care which side of the equation you were on, but were taking advantage of or exploiting the primal brain response to this.
Well, they don't even know it, I don't think.
No, but I think there are people who are movers and shakers who have a stake in the outcome of a conflict.
Oh, I see what you mean. Taking advantage of that.
Through different media messages and this and that.
Yeah, yeah. I understand what you're saying.
That scares the pants off me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And, you know, you said that, you know, we could go all kinds of different directions. Every show that we do is like this. And, folks, what we try to do is keep this a narrow focus so that we don't go off on too many tangents and confuse everyone. That's why I repeat again that we're talking about emotion as one thing that can fuel me only positions. Another one is bias. You know, I like to use this example. I touched a green leaf and I got a rash all over my arms and hand. Well, that was poison ivy.
I hate all green leaves.
Actually. I hate all green leaves. I never touch another green leaf. And, you know, bias comes in that form. I want to believe it, therefore it's true. You know, Santa Claus exists.
But that's back to you.
I want to believe it. DMC is going to be the greatest thing to ever hit Rochester. I want to believe that. And we got to be careful because we have got to give due diligence to our thinking with regard to DMC and so on. We're talking about bias here, and it's a big factor as to that fuels me only positions.
Sure, because that puts you in a position where you need to defend it as well.
Oh, that's right. And there we go again. Now, there's something that we could really talk about, and that is defensive reasoning, where, you know, it's me only positions, and by gosh, I'm going to defend it no matter what. And so many people do that. They don't have the intellectual, I guess it would be courage, to say, you know what, you're right. You're right. And it takes real personal growth, I think, to get to that point. But we all have our biases. And, you know, that first step, and I think what this show hopefully is doing for some folks, is creating that awareness that we do have bias. We do have this thing of called an emotional brains that is our fear-flight primal brain, and that if we don't really understand that, then we are at the mercy of that default brain, and we are going to react just like so many did in Ferguson, like so many did with global warming or R. There's an obligation here to get ourselves informed.
So the first thing, I'm going to even say the most important thing here is just simple awareness. You can't get anywhere until you have the awareness of how your brain works and what your reactions are. Your initial reaction is likely going to be that emotional reaction.
That's exactly right, of course.
And even beyond that, then you're going to be relying on your own biases in your decision-making process.
Right.
So if I can go, okay, count to 10. If you're confronted with a big city, or count to 3 even.
That's right.
At least slow your brain down.
That's exactly right.
Is that what we're talking about here?
That's exactly right. And, you know, I have to tell you, Dr. Amit Sood at Mayo Clinic has been a big help to me. I've talked to him. He's, you know, looked at some of my material, and I certainly have one of his books. But this is what he talks about a lot. He talks about attention to our well, I got to make sure that my words for what he says is attention to our world. In other words, attention to what we're doing, what's going on, being in the moment kind of a thing versus what I call, well, he calls it interpretation. I call it living in our mind, where we're allowing our mind to have its way. And keep in mind, our mind wants to have its way around the clock. You know, I just got back from Philadelphia, and I was out in Portland. And, you know, when I conduct my workshops...
You were on opposite sides of the country.
Oh, I sure was. Okay. I had lots of frequent flyer miles, let me tell you. You know, folks in the workshops, I really try to spell this out so that we don't fall into the trap of not being open to new thought. Sticking to our me-only positions, and there we go. And, you know, let me give you an example of that, Tony. Or Tony. Andy, where did Tony come from?
I don't know. Kind of like that. Actually, my mom always said if she wasn't going to name me Andy, it would have been Tony. So you must have tapped
into some idea
sort
where
of
that
higher
came
thing
from.
There, you know?
Well, you know what?
Channeling her spirit somehow.
Here's an example of a me-only position. Where, when I conduct workshops, I'll get the evaluation, and somebody will write in there that, well, you know, I didn't understand this when you use that word. I didn't understand that, and I think, well, goodness, and I even talk about this extensively. Ask questions. There's no possible way I can know. You know, what you are aware of, what you understand. But I think that is a me-only position. I think questions aren't asked. Why? Because, well, I don't really know that I want to know. Plus, I don't maybe have the courage. So, you know, a me-only position, think of it this way. To be submissive is very egocentric-minded because you are protecting yourself. You don't want to stick your neck out at all. I mean, if you ask a question, that means I can ask a question of you. A lot of folks don't want to go there.
Are you sure about that, Jim?
I'm pretty sure.
I'm just throwing the passive aggressive thing at you.
No, we're gonna go.
I'm not really sure if we should take a news break. Do you think we should take a news break?
No, let's keep going.
Then we have to.
We always run out of time.
This time, I'm going to have to put forward that courageousness and step forward and say, "We must take a news break." Unless you don't want to.
No, go ahead.
It is now 10:30. It's already 10:30, goodness gracious. Jim Walters, The Power of Learning Show on KROC AM. We're talking about the me-only position, egocentric decision-making. We'll talk more about this. We'll take calls, too, 282-1234. Give us a call after the news break here on KROC AM. News Talk 1340, KROC AM. Good morning. Welcome back. I'm Andy Brownell with Jim Walters, The Power of Learning Show. And we're talking about me-only positions and critical thinking, of course. And that would be there'd be opposing positions at that point. Your use of the me-only stance would kind of negate anything that was going on critical thinking-wise. And the awareness of that is kind of what we're talking about and off the air during the news break. While Kim David was busy there, we're both lamenting our political leadership in this country, and which is
either you're a liberal or you're a conservative. There's no in between, and I don't want to hear anything about whatever the opposite persuasion politically that you want to talk about.
And if you're not liberal and I am, you're the devil.
Oh, yeah.
And if you're not conservative and I am, you are the devil.
That's right. And I
mean the devil.
We should have talked about that example at the outset. I even have it written down here because I just think, man alive, we've got to do something here, folks. There's wonderful things, wonderful ideas that liberals, the Democratic Party has, and same with conservatives. What happened that we no longer seek the middle ground? What happened to, let me ask you this, I on my Facebook anyway, I see post after post after post. It's either a liberal knocking a conservative, or it's a conservative knocking a liberal. And I actually did write, and I don't like to do this often, but I wrote, what would it be like if we started writing about things that each party did that were, you know, constructive? Well, what would it be like, you know, knowing that the mind gets what it wants, and then, you know, in a macro kind of sense, organizations then get what they think and by virtue of what they talk about. How would it be if we changed what we talked about and ridded ourselves of our bias politically and started talking about, you know, the good or the good ideas or the good things that each party does?
But, okay, I agree, but they cannot get even to the point where they can define what is good and what is bad. And I think that's part of the whole problem here is they're, the different ideas of what is progress and what is regression on any aspect of our society is right now so polar opposite, they're having even trouble agreeing on what is a good development, what is a bad development. So, just finding the ability to have the common ground to have that discussion at this point is almost impossible.
Well, yeah, but I tell you what, they abound. I say they abound, but I can't think of any right off the head because we didn't plan to talk about this.
No,
but there are, you know, lots of examples, and those examples, as small and as seemingly insignificant that they might seem, are not. Because we know that, when you start citing examples that, and I wish I could think of some, my mind is just going here.
It's that hard, though, right now. It is.
It is. But there are those examples where it might be recognizing a veteran, let's say.
Okay.
By golly, somebody's going to say they did it for political purposes.
Oh, sure.
You know, so that's what I'm talking about.
Even though it's common ground.
Why don't we say if I'm a conservative and Tim Walz, Representative Tim Walz, recognized a veteran, why don't I say what a great thing Representative Walz did? Why don't I do that? And listen, here's what happens when we do this. This is how you build trust. And now you've got you're in better position to then have the more difficult conversations. We are not even close to that.
Well, no, you brought up build trust, and I'm going to use credibility in the same sentence. If you look at the polls and the people, the voters, and their level of trust towards their government is at record lows.
Oh, man.
Doesn't matter if it's the executive branch, the judicial branch, or the legislative branch. They're
That's
all
right.
in the toilet right now as
That's
far
right.
as credibility and trust.
That's right.
And it's mind-boggling to me.
This show should be syndicated across the country. Now, I say that somewhat tongue-in-cheek, but let me tell you, you know, we've been talking about, you know, the problem, and there's one more problem that fuels this revolving door of me-only positions, and I think the revolving door part is very important for us to kind of repeat, because what happens is when we hold on to our position only – well, that becomes it's a revolving door. We never break out of that then, and it becomes habit. And I believe that's where we're at on so many fronts. And so that's what we're talking about here. So we know that emotion, we know that bias fuels revolving door of me only positions. But how about ego? And I think that our talk about, the political scene has a lot to do with this. I think that ego has a lot to do with us lambasting the other party because we need to do that because we want to really look good in front of our brethren on whatever party we're on. I just see it with so many folks. I think that. It's all about me having that position, me being that person that is taking the lead when we don't understand that we have left that great man kind of leadership, and now it's the great collaborator. And this show, what we're talking about is how you build collaborations. I mean, that is You know, we're kind of segueing to leadership here, but I mean,
here we are.
But I mean this. In my view, that where we're at today, whether it's in your managing your team, your company, focus on building collaborations. And when you do that, all of a sudden, everything that we're talking about really comes to the fore. Your personal development, your biasness, your egocentric thinking, all of these things really come into play because they're critical to building collaboration. However, if you're stuck in a great man style of leadership, you know, well, I can, those things don't concern me much. It's, I've got to show that I'm the great thinker, and that without me, without John Wayne, we can't go forward, you know?
You make a great point. Fixing it, though, is the other part that's...
And that's what we're doing here. That first step is awareness. And the fixing it, and I wanted to mention this earlier, you said that, you know, geez, we could talk about this, that, and the other thing. We should really talk about one thing, and I'll just take 20 seconds to do it, and that is education. We have got to have critical thinking be part of... not just in colleges. We need it at the junior high level and up, or even maybe elementary school, where we start introducing this notion of critical thinking, which is to seek the truth. And how do we do that? And that's a whole story, and we certainly are talking about it in every one of these shows. Go ahead.
No, I'm interested in that because I am now getting to the point where, as far as school is concerned, I'm a fossil. That my days in a structured classroom are way over there in the past.
Yeah.
And I, other than what my children had in the classroom, we memorized, we did. Obviously, we memorized our math tables, and we had to memorize, obviously, some spelling. But I would like to think that by the time I was in junior high school, we were practicing critical thinking. We were choosing topics, and we were researching topics, and we were working through science programs on cause and effect, which is certainly critical thinking. The experimental process has that gone by the wayside today?
Well, I think that, and this is just totally my opinion. Everything I spew is usually based on research, but I will tell you that I believe that education of the past was based on the teacher in the school. They were the all-knowing. They had the information, and it was true. That's not true anymore. Everybody know the information is at everybody's hand at the click of a button. You just got through telling me during the break that you're learning to speak Spanish, and it's very effective with an app, a simple app.
On a smartphone, yeah.
So my point is that the information out of... And what did your daughter say, by the way? You mentioned that.
Oh, that... Well, she's had eight, nine, ten years of Spanish. She's a minor. You know, she'll be graduating from college. And there were some concepts as far as verbs are concerned that she was shocked that I was actually getting that already.
And you said it was just almost effortless. You do this app. My point here
painless
is that the repository of knowledge is no longer, to an extent, in these buildings that look like schools. They now are on the internet, and learning is taking place in all kinds of different fashion.
All right. We have a caller, Jim. 282-1234 is our number. Good morning.
Good morning. I'll try and stay on point this time. I just had some random thoughts on what you were talking about, one of which is critical thinking is important, but even maybe more so is how to convey that to whoever your audience is. If I could just be a dictator for a moment, one thing I would make a requirement is teaching of public speaking. I know that I listen to conversations, and people want to get their point across, but they really don't know how, at least not in a concise and strong fashion. And another thing I wanted to talk about was how we get our knowledge. So much of it is secondhand. We rely on reports from someplace, from someone else, in order to make our decisions. And the sources don't seem to be well vetted these days. You were just talking about that, talking about the internet and information being available at, you know, more easily than it's ever been before, but it's not necessarily reliable. So how do you decide, and how do you be egoless in your argument? It feels a little bit like unilateral disarmament. You know, if you
Jim and I have had this conversation before.
Oh yeah, yeah. So I guess I should stop right there. And just,
no, it's a great point.
Yeah, you know, yes, thank you for calling. What great points. I wrote some things down, and where do I start? But I just want to reiterate that what the gentleman said was that, and I think he's just dead on. Yeah, critical thinking is important, but the real key here is how do we get folks to embrace the notion of critical thinking. And he said, you know, if I were a dictator, I could just tell you to do it or else kind of a thing, but we can't do that, of course. So he said that, you know, speaking skills are so important. True. And that's why we're talking about, I'm going to couch that in education. But then he talked about knowledge and how do we get the knowledge. And that is fundamental to critical thinking, that we ask questions using Andy and myself on global change. Andy and I are not diametrically opposed or diametrically different, but we have a little bit different. We were just talking about the carbon concentration, and the obligation we have then is to not let our amygdala control and say, and have these outbursts that, well, you know, Andy, you can't possibly believe that. No, what we can do is, you know, just what Andy did. You know, I don't know that for sure. Oh. And I said, I don't know my position for sure. So we have an obligation to ask questions, and that means we go and we do find the information. And the gentleman said, you know, we have so much information from second and third party sources, the internet for one. We have an obligation to question those sources always. And that's to answer his question, that is the start of how we become better thinkers.
I'm going to go back to the unilateral disarmament point. And I thought you made a great point with that, because if you come into a discussion and you are dealing with a person who is coming from the me-only perspective, armed to the teeth with a bunch of garbage, how, by coming at that, by, I guess, putting down your fences and saying, okay, you can allow yourself to be trampled on pretty easily. And I'm going to give you an example of this, and I might be hated for bringing this up as an example. I sat through the process of naming Century High School many, many moons ago, and it was one of the first times they used the consensus building. There's a term they use. I can't remember exactly, but it was based upon consensus, and I was an observer to the process, not involved. I was there covering it for the news department, and they broke it into smaller tables and had these discussions. And from a distance watching it, you could very easily see that there was an organized group of people who were basically hijacking each one of these discussions and moving it towards a conclusion. And those who had an opposing point of view, in a lot of ways, were trampled during these discussions. And it got to the point where they ended up with what many people to this day will consider a rather mundane name for a high school, Century High School. And I thought it was a completely flawed process when I watched it happen. And that's how it happened, was you had a group of people who came in there determined to have their point of view be the point of view that was approved. And it may not have been the best outcome.
So there we circle right back to intellectual laziness. I mean, or intellectual courage in this case. To, you know, yes, you weren't part of the process, but for those that were, why aren't you standing up? We're so, perhaps another fuel to me only positions is risk averseness. We just don't want to ruffle anybody's feathers. Well, we don't understand that conflict is not a negative. Conflict is good. It's required. It's necessary for growth and adaptation. It's just that we make conflict something really bad because we don't know how to handle it. And essentially, that's what we're talking about here. So I understand. I hear you.
Am I still on?
Yes, you are.
I just wanted to remark, I had a very intense discussion with someone back this fall, and I was getting a little nervous because he was getting very, very energetic and very vehement, and I just wasn't brought up that way. But something clicked, and I said, I'm not going to let myself be pulled into this. I'm going to stay calm, which was really, really difficult. And we went on for a while, and he said, this is great. I haven't had this. I haven't had so much fun since, you know, whatever. If you can maintain your inner peace, even though the discussion might get vehement,
there we go with that balance.
And that's risk taking, and that's, you know, I'm mostly risk averse, but that time I stuck with it, and it turned out well.
Awesome,
great example, and you know. Sir, that is the balance we were talking about, and that Dr. Amit Sood talks about with regard to, you know, the ability to attend to our world, to attend, in your case, to what is going on, and recognizing, all right, I feel myself getting worked up. That is always a trigger for me to kind of cool down. So
right.
Great example.
So let me ask you this. By you unilaterally cooling down and going into the listening mode, I take it, did that help the other person become less animated?
No.
Okay. Well,
I didn't necessarily go in the listening mode. I just decided that I wasn't going to become emotional. I wasn't
okay.
going to become upset. I was going to try to be as reasonable and logical as I could. And it was really difficult because I don't handle a confrontation very well. But
well,
I knew it was a, you know, it wasn't going to get physically violent, but it was certainly vocally very
sure.
Very energetic.
Well, here's a tactic that when I do at times I do some customer service training, and having been involved with cut my teeth with electric utilities, we'd have folks come in and they were in full amygdala hijack. They were very emotional about their bill. They can't possibly be this much.
I couldn't have used that kind of water. What are you talking about?
That's right. And so what I would tell folks is, look, when that happens, recognize, and I'd give them a little lesson in what we're talking about, and I'd say, so ask, bring them out of that primal brain, ask them a thinking brain question. Just ask them that. Well, sir, when did this start? Now they got to think a little bit. Well, I think back in April. Now that you just toned them down and start doing the questioning. And if that doesn't work, at some point you got to say, and I have done this. I said, you know what? We're not going anywhere. Let's meet another day. But, you know, we're not moving forward. I mean, something like that. Maybe
sure.
You got to recognize that some folks are just not going to get there, at least at that very moment.
Okay, I have to take a break. Anything else?
That's it for me. Thanks, guys.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
It is 5 minutes away from 11 o'clock, and I have to take this break. It's 32 in the downtown at KROC AM. More of the Power of Learning show. Jim Walters, that's coming up next.
Their Eye Forecast on News Talk 1340, KROC AM.
It's brought to you by Mystic Lake Casino. Tickets on sale now to see comedian Joe McHale at Mystic Lake Saturday, April 11th. See the star of TV's The Soup and Community Live. Get tickets today at mysticlake.com. Cloudy today. We should make it into the mid-30s. Overnight low tonight in the mid-20s. Tomorrow, a chance of rain developing later in the day and a high of about 40 degrees. Then we get into Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and Thursday. There's a chance of a rain and snow mix all 3 days. Maybe some minor accumulations of snow. We're expecting a high or low Tuesday night of 35. Low 40s the high on Wednesday. Upper 30s the high Thursday. Then dry Friday, 32. Partly cloudy and in the low 40s on Saturday. Right now, 32 in the downtown at KROC AM. It's already 2 minutes away from 11 o'clock. almost out of time with the Power of Learning show today with Jim Walters. I know, Jim, you kind of want to wrap things up.
Yeah, let's close the loop here. We've talked about what fuels the revolving door of me-only positions and how that is so toxic. It doesn't help anybody. It doesn't move organizations move forward and the like. So let's just kind of review that what we need to do is we need to first recognize that we are biased individuals and that bias is just one of the fuels of revolving door me-only positions, as is emotions and ego. And what we can do as critical thinkers is just recognize we have an obligation to get ourselves informed, and we can do that by asking questions and listening. And then finally, as my buddy Denny did, how about we take the other position and argue that? If you really want to get informed, when I say argue that, just talk to somebody about it from their position. A lot of people won't do it. Why? They want to stay biased.
Sure.
There we go.
And our caller had talked about the information available, this massive amount of information that is available to you. The way to vet it is to look at information from the opposing viewpoints.
Right. That's what is exactly
and try
right.
to do the best you can to
because
judge the veracity of it.
Ultimately, ask yourself this. Are you there to prove your point? This impulse of necessity, it's got to be my way, or are you after the truth? We all should be seeking the truth.
All right, Jim, we'll do this again in a few weeks. It is already 11 o'clock, 32 degrees, downtown Rochester. News Talk 1340, KROC, AM Rochester. Time for ABC News.